Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 632, I Love to Hear the Story. Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this lovely spring morning to our service of Holy Communion. Hopefully on the way in you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Most of our regular weekly activities are happening this coming week. Just wanted to draw attention to a couple that are not always in place for the coming week. On Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we have the funeral service here in Church of Mrs. Angela Moore. That's at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And on Tuesday afternoon, Pickleball will be meeting a bit later at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Friendship Group are meeting this week, and they look forward to a talk by Dr. Lauren Smith. That's on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and all ladies are welcome. This coming Saturday, we have the monthly work party around the grounds of the church. If you're free to help, we're always delighted to get those jobs done around the church that we don't always get the opportunity to do. So that's on Saturday morning between 9 and 11. And our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. Today is the day in which our new church wardens begin, and on all our behalf, we want to say a huge thank you to Trevor and Georgina, who served us so well over the past year, and we want to wish Stephen and Rosemary well as they begin their year in office. So thank you for taking on that important role in the life of our church. All the responses for our service today will be on the screen, or if you prefer to follow in the Book of Common Prayer, our service begins on page 201. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we're going to stand to sing from the Purple Thanks and Praise, hymn 195, Gloria, Gloria.
Thank you.
our special collect prayer for today, the third Sunday of Easter, as we think of the Lord's risen presence among us. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you please be seated.
A reading from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So they went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And we respond to the gospel as we affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. And our hymn, which we're about to sing, is a reflection on that gospel passage we've just heard. As we sing hymn 253, "As We Walked Home at Close of Day."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a really powerful theme that runs through this morning's beautiful gospel reading, and it is the question of how do we deal with disappointment? And it's a really important question because disappointment tends to impact our lives in so many different areas. Most of us will have experienced disappointment in a whole variety of settings, from our home and family life, sometimes to work, and those professional disappointments like being passed over in the promotion stakes or being a victim of bullying or unpleasant toxic behavior in the workplace. And sadly, the church and our faith life can also be another part of our story where we experience at times bitter disappointment. It can be a sense of loneliness or alienation. Why do so few people seem to share my faith or take it seriously in their lives as I think they should? To the pain of unanswered prayers and at times a belief that God may have abandoned us. But today's passage, it's brilliant and it's beautiful. And there are some things that the two believers that we meet in this passage do that I think are really helpful. And then there are others that are not so good. And for that reason, I think it's a really honest and real passage. It's not manufactured in any way. And as we reflect on our own disappointments and how we've dealt with them, maybe we will find some insights, some help, and some hope in these verses. The first great thing that I see these two believers do when they are experiencing disappointment is they take a walk and they have a conversation to process what's going on in their lives. They don't keep all those feelings to themselves, but they use this 7-mile journey to get it all out there as they reflect on the events of the previous days. Jesus capture his trial and his cruel beating, and ultimately the horrible nature of his crucifixion. And so they walk and they talk, but bizarrely, they seem to be walking in completely the wrong direction. Instead of going to Jerusalem, the center of the Christian community, the place where God has always revealed himself in Scripture, the place where they will most likely find other believers, we see these two heading off in the opposite direction, to the village of Emmaus. And when we see them do this, I wonder, do we too sometimes take ourselves off and do our own thing when confronted with disappointment? Do we think that that's perhaps the best way to solve it? And sometimes we do need to be alone for a while. But to go in the opposite direction to people and to potential sources of encouragement and support, that's not usually going to bring comfort or solutions. And when they meet the stranger who we know is Jesus, they continue to process events as he asks them a few thoughtful and simple questions. And in the course of that conversation, we quickly discover a couple of very significant things. We see that they have a lack of understanding about the events that have just taken place,
And we also see that they have an internal unwillingness to believe. And as they articulate their hopes about what Jesus was going to do to redeem Israel and how the women had told them about the resurrection and the empty tomb, it's as if these two have never heard or listened to a word that Jesus had said when he was among them. And I wonder sometimes too, do we ever have misguided notions about how we believe life should work out? Maybe we believe that if we're followers of Jesus, we're entitled to a trouble-free life, and that following Jesus will somehow be some sort of immunity from sickness or family troubles. And maybe we believe that prosperity ought to visit our decision-making process at every turn. And holding on to beliefs like these, even if they're subconsciously held, that can all lead to us carrying a profound sense of disillusionment and disappointment when those things are not realized. And we see in this passage that Jesus doesn't feed their misguided beliefs about a political Messiah, or he doesn't join in their bewilderment at what the women have told them. But instead, Jesus opts to feed them in two ways. The first way is through the scriptures, as he explains all those passages that point to his coming. He explains in these passages about his life, his ministry, his purpose. And yes, he also mentions the passages that point to his service and his suffering, his death and his resurrection. He speaks about a Savior whose body was broken and whose blood was shed, not just in a vague, nebulous, kind of generous way for society, but broken for you and for me, for your sins and for my sins. And these two who travel with him reflect on this experience of hearing him explain to them what was going on. Were not our hearts burning within us while he walked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Sometimes our disappointments are so all-consuming that, like these two, we fail to see or recognize that Jesus was actually walking with us on the journey. And the second profound thing that Jesus does in this encounter is that he doesn't impose himself upon them in their disappointment. In fact, he makes as if he's going to head on further, and they invite him to stay. And although he is the guest, he does this really strange thing, and he takes over as the host. He takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he shares it with them. And it's like this light bulb goes on. It's him. It is the risen Lord, and their eyes are opened, and they recognize him, and then he disappears. In a few moments, we too will be breaking bread here in this place. And as we reflect on familiar events, maybe we too are a bit overwhelmed by all of the stuff that's going wrong in the world, all the stuff that might be going wrong in our lives or in the church. And maybe like these two believers, we had hoped that things would be different. And maybe Jesus wants to come to meet us right here this morning. Maybe there is a line that we heard in the scriptures today that we've never thought about before. Maybe there's a line in a hymn or a truth or a piece of the jigsaw that perhaps will fall into place for us. Or maybe it will be that mysterious thing when you come to the rails or you sit in your pew and you take bread and wine and your heart is filled with a sense of his presence. And then just like those two believers, you can't wait to tell someone else what you have experienced, that the Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And we pray today that right across the world, many would encounter your risen presence through your word or in the breaking of bread. Lord, in your mercy. We pray today for the nations of the world, and we remember especially all who are caught up in the fear and turmoil of war in the Middle East, in Ukraine and Russia, in South Sudan. And we pray particularly for the world leaders who have the power to end these wars. And we pray for their advisors. May they be given courage, faith, and confidence to bring these conflicts to an end and begin to build peace and hope where those things have been extinguished. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially today for all who are wrestling with personal struggles and disappointments at this time. We pray too for all our young people as they prepare for important exams in schools and universities. We pray for all who feel anxious and stressed by different situations that are going on in their lives right now. And we ask, Lord, that you would surround all who are struggling with the right people at the right time. We ask you to give comfort and strength to those who mourn. And we remember particularly the Moore family circle at this time. And in a quiet moment, we ask you to support those who are in our hearts and on our minds with your healing presence and your love as we bring them to you in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we join together to sing the hymn of our offering, hymn 252, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words."
Amen, amen, amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We in the name are one body, for we all share in one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Living God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. After our service today, everybody is warmly invited to some tea and coffee over in the church hall, and we join together now to sing our closing hymn, hymn number 81, Lord for the Years.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.